We're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
My name is Chris Fluitt, and I'm thankful for everybody that is joining us online. I wish I could be in the room with you all. Thank you for joining us on Valentine's Day. Warning, guys, if you didn't know it was Valentine's Day, it is probably too late for you. These altars will be open later for you to pray. Make sure you pray. I hope all our couples had a wonderful day together. God cares about all of our relationships. I hope that you had a good time with your children today and had fun with them and had a good Valentine's Day with them also. I was at the store the other day and I found my way down the Valentine aisles because they have multiple aisles. And there are all kinds of things you could buy. You could buy balloons. You could buy cards. You could buy the little Valentine's little cards that you would give each other at school. And of course, you could find every kind of candy. Then I saw these very familiar little heart-shaped candies with writing on them. It's actually a little red ink or white ink, and they just stamp it right on this little heart-shaped candy. You've probably seen these before. We've all seen them, right? They're these candies that taste like they were surely made out of the old chalk from your elementary school. Yeah, your teacher would write on the chalkboard, and once that piece of chalk got too small, she would donate it to this candy factory, and they would make these candies for Valentine's Day, or at least that's what they taste like. Please don't sue me for saying such things. These candies are actually called Sweethearts Conversation Candies, Conversation Hearts, and they are by a company called NECO, which stands for New England Confectionery Company. So these candies, I was thinking, number one, about how bad they tasted. I think the package cost $1, and I thought that was $1 too much. I began to also think about God's love for me and what His message might be on one of those candies. What would His message be towards you on one of those candies? And I want you to think about that today. Can you think of any of the messages, number one, that are actually written on those pieces of candy? Just think about that. Can you recall any? Some of them are actually really silly, and I'm not sure I can see God maybe giving us these following. I don't see God giving us cutie pie. That's one of the hearts. Cutie pie. Love bug. Love bug. God looked at me and said, "You are my love bug." Hug me, maybe. They've got variations of kiss. Not the band, Marshall. Not the band, but actual affection. Kiss me is one of them. First kiss and let's kiss. All right, I don't see the Lord maybe giving me that one. Here's one. You are hot. You are hot. Or too hot. Too hot. Or you rock. I think all of those are a little silly, and I can't really picture the Lord giving us those. Maybe these next ones are a little closer to God's messaging. Soulmate. Soulmate? That might work. Forever? Now we're getting close, right? I heart you. Me and you. I can see those things. But I think the message God has for us is actually one that NECO originally stamped on their candies when they started selling way back in 1902. That's how long they've been selling those. And that message I want to talk to you about today is be mine. Can you say that? Be mine. God's message for you today is be mine. This will also be His message tomorrow when it's no longer Valentine's Day. The Lord's message for you will still be mine. Be mine is His message to you always, from the beginning to the end. The Lord would tell you, be mine. In fact, it's in the Bible. Did you see that one coming? Did you see it? Malachi chapter 3. Look, turn there with me. Malachi 3, and we're going to begin reading at verse 16 through 17. Then those who feared the Lord talked with each other, and the Lord listened and heard. God listens when you speak. A scroll of remembrance was written in his presence concerning those who feared the Lord and honored his name. Fearing the Lord, honoring his name. Here's what the Lord says. They shall be mine. Can you say it? They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts. On that day that I will make them my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. God speaks to a people who never did anything wrong. God speaks to a people that did everything right. God speaks to a people that never stopped believing, never stopped worshiping. None of that is true. None of that is true. He actually speaks to a people that were outcasts. He actually speaks to a people that were disobedient. They had failed to walk in relationship with God, and they'd gotten themselves into so much trouble that they actually got kicked out of the land God had promised them, and they went through all kinds of trouble. And yet God sends them a message through a prophet named Malachi. And God says in the middle of this message, be mine. What is be mine? Here's what be mine is. Be mine is a request. Be mine requires free will. It's a request, and how you answer it requires free will. Love requires free will. Don't you ever forget that. God gives you an invitation today. You know what the invitation is. Be mine. God loves you, and he wants you to decide to be his. In Scripture, God calls you the apple of his eye. Scripture declares that his love is as high and as great as the heavens. Jesus says the very numbers of your head are numbered. And Scripture says he rejoices over you with singing. This is our God. Do you have this picture of the Lord? You have a picture of you singing to the Lord. We do it every Sunday. But do you have a picture of the Lord singing over you? Do you have a picture of him looking upon you with such love? Do you have a picture of what he thinks about you? That you are worth loving, that you are his worth loving at the greatness of the heavens. Do you have this picture? I want you to have this picture today of a God who says, be mine. Over and over in Scripture, God has invited us, be mine. But what happens when the love given is not received? Love given, yet not received. What happens then? This is one of the great reoccurring concepts and themes in stories. Anybody like stories? It's called unrequited love. Unrequited love is a love that is not reciprocated, even though reciprocation is desired. Any love that is not returned to the same degree it was given, we call unrequited love. When you love somebody and they don't love you back. Shakespeare, Hemingway, Dickens, all the great authors, all the great stories feature unrequited love. You can hardly read a book, watch a movie, or TV show, or even listen to a song without running into the theme of unrequited love. The Phantom of the Opera gets a little dark, but that's the story of unrequited love. Gone with the Wind, The Little Mermaid, Don Quixote. In fact, even in the Peanuts comics, you had Lucy and her would-be love, Schroeder. And Schroeder just can't seem to pull himself away from his small piano. Unrequited love. We should be familiar with this, this theme of love given, but love not received. Wait, do you think that maybe this theme is in the Bible? Who saw that coming? Yes, this theme is all throughout the Bible. God gives out love to Adam and Eve. He loves them. And God gives them everything they would ever need. And he asks them, be mine. But not doing one simple thing. Don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Be mine by keeping this one thing. And they didn't do it. They did not return the love that had been given to them. Unrequited love. What does God do? God doesn't slay them. God continues in his quest for love. God continues to speak to man and gives them a way to have a relationship with them. And people begin to call on the name of the Lord, and God is with them and even gives them a way to sacrifice in worship. But these people don't receive this love of God. Instead, they become so evil that God has to send something to clean up the whole world. What does God have to send? He sends a flood, and it cleans up the whole world. God doesn't quit there. He delivers slaves from Egypt and blesses them with wealth, health, freedom, and commands to live a blessed life in their own land. This is what the Lord does. And you know what those people do? Oh, they fall so in love with God, don't they? No, they complain. In fact, that's about all they ever do. They complain about God. They complain about the leaders that God placed in their life. They even complain that God freed them from slavery. The Bible is a long story of God giving us love and us not returning it like we should. And yet, God still returns to us and invites us, be mine. You can be a Christian all your life. You listen to me. You can be a Christian all your life and not understand this fact. I once heard a missionary tell an amazing story. I want to do my best to share that story with you as I come close to closing. There was a missionary who had recently arrived in the Middle East. He was invited to meet some influential men who were all Muslim. And he was instructed by the people who set up the meeting, be very careful. They told him, we can't guarantee your safety if they get angry. They could declare you a blasphemer and then have you put to death right outside that door. The missionary went into the meeting. And the men began to speak to him. And they asked him about God. The missionary said, I believe the best way to know God is to know Jesus. Because Jesus is God come to earth. Well, that did it. That absolutely did it. Men all over the room stood up and began pointing, looked very angry, and started raising their voices. The new missionary could only understand a few things they were saying. But you did not need to speak the language to know that they were angry. His days as a missionary seemed to be numbered until one of the men stood up. And he yelled somehow louder than the crowd. He yelled, let the man explain. The meeting grew silent. And the man looked at the missionary and said, why do you think such a big God would become a man? It's a very good question. Why would such a big, strong, powerful God become a man? The missionary said, imagine you love a woman. You tell her how much she means to you, and you ask her to be your wife. And after you have conveyed how you feel, she says, no. Imagine that. Now, you could decide to go find someone else to fall in love with, right? You could. But you decided that you loved this woman. You decided you really did love her. So, instead of walking away, you decide to continue to pursue her. The missionary asked the man, but how do you pursue in love? How do you do it? Would you use your strength? Would you use your power to abuse the woman that you love? In order to force her to love you, would you do that? Would you force her to say yes to your marriage proposal? And that man looked at that missionary sternly, and he shook his head, no. The missionary continued, of course not. Here's what you would do. You would serve that woman. You would give her gifts. You would meet all of her needs. You would show her your love again and again to try to win her affection. Because of your love, you would be willing to become lesser, to become smaller, to become a servant for her. You would be willing to even suffer for her pain. You would be willing to die for her in your pursuit of loving her. That man, who silenced the room, began to slowly nod in agreement with the missionary. God loves us, but we have told God no. But because God really loves us, he didn't look for someone else. He pursued us with his love. He does not use his strength and power to abuse us until we decide to say yes. Instead, God shows us how much he loves us in hopes that we will say yes. God became a servant. Do you know it? He became a servant to pursue us in love. God experienced pain to show us the depth of his love. God became a man so that he could pursue us with love. That man again started to point, and he raised his voice, and the missionary was now a little worried, and he looked over at his translator, and the translator said, he believes you. He is saying, I believe this man. God invites you, be mine. He is not here to force you. It is an invitation. God is inviting you to let yourself become his. God told us he loved us, but we did not return his love. Because God really loves us, he continues to pursue us, even today. You know what this is? This is the gospel. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Even if you have been telling God no, he continues to pursue you with his love. No matter what your sin issue is, God invites you to be his. On this Valentine's Day, we can receive his invitation. Be mine. Now we're going to take some time. We're going to worship the Lord in some music. But I want you to spend some time just being his. I want you to lift your praise to him. If you have sin in your life, I want you to repent of your sin. God is pursuing you. God is not mad at you. God is madly in love with you.
For more information about redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com. We want to hear from you, so be sure to connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or even our anonymous question text line at 214-856-0550. Thank you for joining us, and have a blessed day.